Now, the secret report. What the heck is this?
Okay, there was a lot of freedom. There was a really a period of about 20 years here where there was just a breath of fresh air, and a real democracy was formed, at least here in the Bay Area, and they brought teachers into the writing of the five-year plan. And I, being a prolific writer and a grant writer at that time and a resource teacher, I was invited to participate in the writing of the five-year plan with the superintendent at that time. And so we had a series of meetings that took a couple weeks where we were supposed to put together this five-year plan. And one early on, the superintendent, who I will not name, came in with his shirt sleeves, and he said, "I'm going to make an announcement right now, but you can't make it public. I'm quitting. I'm quitting." And we were, like, really surprised because he was a really good superintendent. Nobody expected him to quit. He said, "Look at this report." And he threw this report on the table. And the report was an economic – well, actually, let's do a little history here. Do you remember when Sputnik went up in 57?
Sure. I was 7 years old, but I do remember it.
Do you remember what Eisenhower did? Do you remember the reaction that happened in America around education?
Everything panicked, didn't it?
Right. And Eisenhower, who was, I believe, a terrific president, decided to pour money into education. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, we have, this is a wake-up call. You know, we have to catch up here. You know, other countries are educating their people more efficiently. Look, they've launched Sputnik. And so Eisenhower created this new momentum. So the report was a report on that, what has happened to education since 1957. And it was fascinating because so many really dedicated educators and politicians and government really tried to get more and more money. But instead of more money coming into the public school system, it seemed to be less, you know, by the year. So the idea of the report was why? Why? And what was so shocking to the superintendent and to those of us that read it was the report, which was like an economic report following the years and the money spent, you know, and the pie charts and all of that, was that they were predicting a need for low-paying, low-skilled jobs to mushroom by the millennium.
Huh.
So if you're looking towards creating people in school that are willing to do low wage, minimum wage, low paying, no benefit jobs, you don't want to really educate them that well, right?
That's true.
Right. And so that was the theme of the findings of this report, that the reason why president, after governor, after governor have you know, promised the people to do everything they can to make us number one in education, it hasn't happened.
No.
So we have that, like you know, we have to ask ourselves, why have we let ourselves become like 18th, you know, in the world? And if I don't, I can't verify that that's true, the findings, but it sure looks true. You know, when you look at what's going on with the economy right now and the workforce, I mean, people have been laid off that are college educated, and they're going back to jobs that they're making a fourth of the money, and they're not even using their educational degrees.
Who do you feel the most sorry-ist? Is that correct? The kids that are in school now, those of us that were in school before, which one you're the most concerned?
You know what? We those of us that remember the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, and you know, which were the good old days compared to what it's like now. I think we're the ones. We have a responsibility to. I've been listening to your commercials about terrorism. You know how terrorism is used to control people.
Yep.
That was my major epiphany. Like, I heard a voice, like in 1992, and the voice said, "How can you create free-thinking Americans, free-thinking earthlings, if you are terrorizing their minds into submission? How can you do that?" And, of course, the answer is you can't. So my heart goes out to all the kids and all the teachers that have to go into the classroom which is like a cabin, like a matrix of control, and they have to try to make the best of it. But you know your earlier guest about exercise?
Mm-hmm.
When you begin to realize what that does to children to force them to sit in those little seats all day, I mean, basic questions about we totally take for granted that's okay. You know, it's okay to make a kid sit in a hard wooden seat for 5 hours. It's not okay.
No.
It's not. It's doing great damage to them. And so one of the things that I inaugurated in my classroom was I allowed them to go to the bathroom when they wanted to. I allowed the children that had they were highly nervous, or like they had Asperger's syndrome, or, you know, we had inclusion, so we had everybody in our classes. I would say, you know, if you need to get up and stretch, do it. If you need to run around the school, do it. It's amazing when you give children the opportunity to take off the shackles of you know, the enslavement of having to sit in those seats all day. And boy, don't be caught looking out the window.
So did you give them the ability to skip class if they wanted to?
No.
You didn't do that.
Well, they wanted to come to class because they were allowed to develop their own, much of their own curriculum around the major state strand.
Well,